Good morning, and again, Merry Christmas. I want to make a real brief comment before we begin this morning. Each month, if you've noticed, Pastor Michelle always has a theme for the month. And that's been kind of that word that God's been speaking to us. Let me encourage you. When God is speaking, take seriously what he says. And remember what he says, because he doesn't forget what he says. He's calling us into something that's much greater and better and bigger than we are or could ever be. But we are privileged to hear from God. I wanted to make comment, especially concerning this month, Home for Christmas. Those of us who are old enough realize that words have meanings. Some things you just hear so often, you hear it and it goes right by you, and you don't even think about it again, but words do have meanings. And I've shared many times here that I like words. I love words. But as I get older, I like little words. Not the 75-cent words, the little words, because they mean so much. And so I want to take a moment here and pray, and then I want to talk about that. But Home for Christmas. And this morning I want to talk about joy in particular. We sang about joy. But I want to just unpack that for us. This is such a wonderful season in the midst of such challenging times. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that before the foundations, before the world was, you saw this moment. You saw each of us. You knew we would be here. You called each of us. You brought us to a place of knowing you. You ordained our times and our boundaries that we could be in this very place with you. And so, Lord, we say thank you this morning. Thank you that for however many years we have been with you, we have remembered the birth of our Lord and our Savior, that it has had profound impact in our lives and our eternity and our future. And so, Lord, we this morning, here in your presence, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us, that you are always with us. We thank you that you are always speaking and leading and filling us. And so this morning, we give you our attention, that you are both with us and in us. Help us to hear, to comprehend, to understand the significance of the time and the season and the things that you are doing, that we might carry your burden and fulfill your purposes. I ask that you would awaken our ears this morning, give us ears to hear everything that you would say, hearts that can comprehend, and a will to obey and to respond in obedience. Help me, Lord, that I might be faithful in proclaiming your word and declaring your heart. And so, Lord, we present to you both the hearing and the declaring of your word for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, first order of business. Little words. They have meanings. Home for Christmas. Definition of terms. I'm not trying to insult anyone at all, but just so that we are all on the same page. First question. What's your home? I was kind of caught by that because that's a word I've known all my life, is home. So I started to look it up and I realized there's some significant things for us to kind of gain in all of this. So I'm only going to give definition of three terms this morning, but home is one of them. I looked it up. It's the place of residence and refuge. So I looked up residence. It's a place, especially the house, in which a person lives or resides. It's a dwelling, a building or a place to shelter in, place of residence or abode. Question, second question, how often do you visit your home? This is a question for you. How often do you visit your home? That kind of throw you off a little bit. It's an odd question. Because guess what? You don't visit your home. You live in your home. Every day, you live in your home. It's the place that you dwell. And it doesn't change from day to day. Do you go to the same place every day? How long will you go there? It's permanent. It's not like I'm here today and then I'm in another place. I don't go to Jason's house. That's his house, but it's not my house. I live in my house. I can visit his house. But I live in my house. I live in my home. So it's the place that I reside. It's the place that you dwell. And it's permanent. Unless you sell your house, it's your place. If you sell it, you'll get another home. And it will be, guess what? Permanent. It's the place that you abide. I love that word abide. Jesus uses it. So in John 15, he talks about, if you abide in me, my word abide, my words abide in you. That issue of abiding is to continue, it's to remain. There, it's not static like it's here now, and then you get a pause and an interval, and then it's here, and then you get another pause and another interval, and it's there. No. Abiding is continuing and remaining. There aren't breaks in that. So home is the place. It's where I abide. I'm always there. Tonight at 6 o'clock, guess where you're going to find me? At my house. Tomorrow at 4 a.m., guess where you're going to find me? In my house. It's the place that we inhabit. We don't visit, we inhabit that. So how often do you visit your home? You don't visit it, you live there. Second, other words, that word welcoming. Again, I'm not trying to insult anyone, but to welcome, it's to greet the arrival of a person with pleasure or kindly courtesy. Hello. Huh. When you welcome someone, you greet them with kindness and with courtesy. It says to receive, to accept with pleasure, regard as pleasant or good. Let me tell you something. In a world that's filled with condemnation and rejection, to find people or a situation that welcomes you, do you want, that's good news. How many of you in your lifetime have dealt with criticism or rejection or condemnation from people, circumstances, or otherwise? Isn't it great when you find somebody that says, hey, I'm so glad to see you, and they give you a hug? That's welcoming. It's inviting. It certainly is good news to the person that's on the receiving end of that. So there is this place of abiding that's permanent, that's mine, and I'm welcome there. I'm not tolerated there. Yeah, come on. You know, you're not indifferent to me there, but you're actually welcome me. Boy, I'll tell you, there can't be a better place. Third word. I love words. Jim alluded to it earlier. Joy. Joy. Let me make a distinction between joy and happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances, conditions. Joy is not. I want to take just a moment to unpack that for you a little bit because it's a phenomenal word. The word in Greek for joy that's used here is chara, C-H-A-R-A-H is the pronunciation. But it's kind of similar to another word. It comes from the same root, which is charis. That sounds familiar to you. You know what charis means? Grace. Joy is from the same root as grace. Those two are tied together. Let me give you, I'm going to get a little heady for you for a moment, but just Just bear with me, because I wanted to lay the foundation and then talk to you about why this season is such an amazing season for us. Kara comes from a larger term, which is kareo, which means rejoice, to rejoice, to be glad, to be cheerful. It's kara is calm delight. Don't you, let me just say that. It just sounds nice to say it. Calm delight. It's not all of the extremes of, boy, I mean, I'm just exuberant, but I'm not in the pits. It's just this calm delight. Doesn't that just sound like just steady? It's just easy. It's just calm delight. Cheerful. That's what it means. That's what it means. Favorably disposed. Properly to delight in God's grace. That's where the things are tied together. Joy and grace. Why are joy and grace tied together? Because literally, we experience God's grace and are conscious of his grace in every situation that you are in. Think about that for a minute. I'm aware, or need to be aware, of God's grace in every situation. Paul and Silas in the jail. What were they doing? Yeah. Where was God while they were in jail? He was with them. Stephen, he's getting stoned. What's he look up and see? He sees Jesus. Where is Jesus while he's getting stoned? Right there. In the midst of your most difficult situation. Who's with you there? Jesus is. Jesus is. And so what he's doing, he's leaning toward you in your situation. His grace is available for you. So guess what? In the midst of the worst of the situations, what can I do? I can rejoice. Because he's there to help me in all things. Now, that we understand the permanence of our home. This isn't today, not tomorrow, but it's permanent and it's continual. When we understand that this is a favorable place, then I'm actually welcome here. And then when we understand that there is this matter of the grace of God that continues toward me and in me in all of my situations, now I can understand, Jesus, where you are, there's going to be, guess what? Joy. Because if there's grace, and you know what it says in John? Jesus came full of grace and truth. Where Jesus is, you're going to find grace. It actually says also that in his presence is fullness of joy. Man, I love that. So now, let me make a quick turn and get us online with where we are right now, the season. I'm going to talk about the baby. I want to talk not only about just Jesus as the baby, because we know that, we sing that, we commemorate, we celebrate all of that. But we need to understand, sometimes it's really easy in the Christmas season to kind of put everything on cruise, and we sing the songs. And I heard a guy talk yesterday about, was it a little town of Bethlehem? He said it was like a lullaby. And I thought, well, yeah, that's nice. But this isn't just a child's song. This is about something much greater. And so there's Jesus, who is the baby, but then we need to understand who it is that we're actually singing about. In a moment, I want to make another big pivot from this season to the relevance of this season. So it's the baby, it's who he is, there's the response of that, and then there's the fact that there's good news. I want to just read several scriptures and passages, some of which we've already looked at this morning. Matthew chapter 2. Beginning verse 9 says, "And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, look at what it says. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Right at the very beginning, here is the baby, and what's happening around the baby? Joy. Okay? Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This was at the beginning. Where the Lord is, there's joy. There's joy. Today's the 21st of December. Where the Lord is, there's joy. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. Wherever he is, there is joy. Okay, so we see there Jesus as the infant, as the baby. Why rejoice with exceeding great joy? Because there is this connection with grace and the presence of God with us. One of his names is Emmanuel, which means I would rather be in any situation. I don't care how difficult or bad it is and have God be with me than to be in the best of situations and not have God there at all. Okay? If you understand and know what it's like to know God and to know who he is and that he's with you, you can go through anything. I had a friend, we used to talk about that. You know, it's like, boy, and we've seen some tough situations. This has been a tough year for me, for many of you. There's warfare that goes on around all of us. We've seen personally, we've seen locally, we've seen nationally, we have seen globally, all kinds of things going on. This has been a season of war. But I'll tell you what, in the midst of all of that, there's all of this good news. Why? Because God is with us. And in the midst of that, there is grace. There is that leaning in. I'm with you. So he's with us in all of this, so there's great joy. What's the good news? Angel says, good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. What is the good news? The good news is that God has stepped into this stuff. He has stepped into the realities. For the world, ultimately, but for us personally. I'll tell you, one of the things that is the most fearful, personally for me, is the fact that God, please don't ever leave me or walk away. He promises to be with us. That's a great promise. My greatest fear is, Lord, that somehow I get distracted and I wander away somewhere and not paying attention to the fact that you are with me, and I make choices and decisions that don't reflect that, and I find myself here when you say, no, when you're with me, I'll be with you. Okay. The good news is that in the midst of all of this darkness, God is with us. And what was it about this particular baby? Luke 9. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Who is this baby? He's the Savior and he's the Lord. What's he going to do? This is the beginning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I saw something this morning that I was rattled by it, by what it said and by what it didn't say. It says, he will save his people from their sins. I'm going to read that again, see if you heard it the way that I heard it. He will save his people from their sins. Anybody notice anything about that? He says, his people. It doesn't say he will save the people. It doesn't say he will save all people. What it does say is that he will save his people. That has, if you got your Bible open, underline that. I want to come back to that in a moment concerning Jesus. But it's his people. He's going to save his people. Are you a part of his people? Yeah. That's good news. That's good news. Boy, I feel like, you know, Paul talked about he was the worst among sinners. That's how I feel. I feel like, guys, you guys are all far ahead of me. And all of us can feel that way because we all know our own stuff. I have a friend who used to talk about each of us carries a bag of rocks. We got our own bag of rocks. I got a bag of rocks. And every once in a while, I kind of hit up against those. And, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for being my Savior. Yeah. Yeah. So he will save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign. What's he going to do? He's going to save. What's he going to do? He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. We're used to beginnings and ends. I can't even start to get my head around the fact of eternal. It has no end. 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, it has no end. And we're invited. That's home, folks. That's home. You realize that eternity doesn't start when we pass away. You know, that started when we said, Jesus, yes. So eternity has already begun for us. So that's this issue. That's good news for us. He's going to save his people from their sins. He's going to reign, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, why is that significant? Isaiah 9, before Jesus was born, says this, and we're all familiar with this. For a child will be born to us, who's the child? Jesus. A son will be given to us, and his government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. No end to the increase of his government or of peace. There is a psalm, I believe it's, I want to say Psalm 68, 11. I think that's what it is. It says that when the righteous reign or increase, the people rejoice. This is a righteous king. Where he reigns, there's going to be rejoicing. Why? Because it is to my benefit and my good that the just king has taken the penalty for me, and I get all of the benefits and the blessings. So we're in this place of the child who represents something much greater. Now, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that. He is the fulfillment. It's good news. I want to take a turn towards something that normally you don't hear this time, this season. Because we talk about the nativity. We talk about the birth. I want to fast forward 32 years. I want to fast forward 32 years and give us a view of the baby who is now an adult who is now getting ready to enter into his purposes. And I want to challenge all of us with this because this really is the good news. This was the whole reason for that. In John 17, I have said this before, that John 17 is probably one of the most important things that we could pay attention to in the scriptures. Why? because it is the baby who is now 32, 33 years old talking to his father who sent him about the mission for which he sent. He's entering into that. So the whole thing that everybody foreshadowed in the nativity, Jesus is now fulfilling. And so he's addressing his father as he steps into that. And that has amazing, amazing significance for you and for me, which is why this is such good news. I want to just read the first 8 verses of chapter 17, but I want to point out a couple things for you. Says this, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself. For the glory which I had with you before the world was, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. And he goes on to talk to the Father about the very purpose and reason that he was sent and the things he has accomplished. Now, why am I pointing this out? Because this is the baby, 32 years, grown, fully mature, functioning in the purposes to which he was called, fulfilling the purpose for which he was sent. And there's some things there that relate to the Christmas season, but also relate to our time now. And that's, I just real quickly want to point out some statistical things, first of all. In John 17, 49 times, Jesus talks about things that were given. In a season where we give gifts, the Father gave to the Son, Jesus gives to those who the Father. As a matter of fact, one of the main things that Jesus talks about is, Father, those whom you have given me. Go back to where it says, he came to save his people from their sins. Not all people, his people. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 2. Talking to the Father, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me. I just want to park there for a moment. This is why we have cause for such great joy. The men that Jesus received from the Father, where were they before the Father gave them to Jesus? In John 17, he says, they were in the world. You gave them to me out of the world. Where were you before you came to Jesus? In the world. Guess what? The Father gave you to Jesus out of the world. It actually says, they were yours, and you gave them to me, which is what Jesus says. Now, there's some theological things we could have fun with this for about a month. I don't want to do that, and most of you probably would fall asleep in the conversation. But the truth of the matter is this: before the foundations, the Father said, "Kathy is mine." And so what does he do? He establishes her time and her boundaries so that she becomes aware in her lifetime, has the best opportunity to become aware that this baby becomes the means for her to be reconciled with the Father. Good news, took her out of the world, brought her to Christ. Cause for rejoicing, because someone else may not be in that same place. But it was the love of God. It was the kindness of God. 49 times, the Father gave. 17 times there's transactions that are spoken about. But there were only two in particular that I want to make mention of. And those are the things that Jesus gave. This is why this becomes so important. In verse 3, and I've read this before, but I continue to come back to it. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Three expressions of that. This is why the baby was so important in the ministry that he fulfilled. He says, to those whom you've given me, I have given eternal life to them. Genosko, you've heard me mention that before. Three expressions of that. Personal. Intimate. Experiential. Some people have an idea about God. They have knowledge about God. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, Father, I have given them to personally know you. Take some time and just assess your own relationship with the Lord. And I'm not talking about God knowing you. I'm talking about you knowing him personally. There are some people that I know about, but I don't know them personally. I could never walk up to certain ones and say, hey, this is me. Let's take time. Let's do whatever together. Couldn't do it. Don't have that kind of relationship. But with God the Father and Jesus, it's personal. So in that relationship, when you go to God, you talk to him personally. When he talks to you, guess what that is? Personal. Second of those, intimate. Intimate. We all wear masks at times. I don't want you to see kind of the most intimate and the worst parts of who I am, so what do? How are you? Fine. Like the word intimate or intimacy. Bob Mumford used to talk about intimacy as into me, he sees. It's one thing for God to be intimate with us and to see into us. It's another thing to know him intimately. The church spends far too much time speculating on what God feels and thinks about things. When Jesus says, Father, I've given them to know you intimately. Why? So that they can know your thoughts. What does God think about? And you fill in the blanks. You need to be able, as you go further on in the Lord, be able to say, this is what God thinks about that. Maybe controversial for everybody else, but it's clear for me. How do you know that? Because God says that. How do I know that? Because of the Holy Spirit who's given to me. Read 1 Corinthians 2 when it talks about nobody knows the spirit of a man, the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man. If you've received the Holy Spirit, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, guess what you have access to? The thoughts of God. There should be no equivocating or controversy about any issues. Intimately. Personally. Intimately. That's what the baby grew up to do for you and me. The third thing is experiential. I love testimonies. I love hearing people's testimonies. But you know what I like better than hearing people's testimonies? Having my own testimonies. I don't want to hear how God healed you. Let me tell you how he healed me. You know what that does? To the arguments, blows them right out of the water. And this is what Jesus is saying. Father, this is personal, this is intimate, and this is experiential. God, you are moving in my life. The invisible God, because of Jesus, because of the baby, growing and fulfilling, the invisible God does things that I can see with my eyeballs, point to, and say, he did this. And that's not just for the super spiritual among us. That's for all of us. Jesus said, that's my gift to you. Talk about a Christmas gift. You talk about a Christmas gift. God, I can know you personally so that I'm not just one name out of 20 billion who've ever been on the planet, but I can know you personally. I can be intimate with you, and you're involved in my life so that even the smallest of things, you know, I like chocolate chip cookies. Sometimes, just when I'm going through difficulty, what does he do? He puts chocolate chip cookies there because Carlton likes those, and he'll know that that's for me. In your difficult time, just signs of his goodness that silence the voice of your enemy. Okay. All right. Let me just wrap this up. This is such good news. That joy is to be made full in us. How do we do that? How do we walk in the fullness of that? It's actually quite simple. It's not hard. It's not difficult at all. There are two places. Jesus talks about fullness of joy. John 16, verse 22. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy, your calm delight, may be made full. One of the things that causes calm delight, joy, is, Lord, the time that I spend with you, the time that I commune with you, my prayer life. Most of us, I would wager and ask, how would you rate your prayer life on a scale of 1 to 10? Most people are probably somewhere below 5, below 4. It could use help. I've never heard anybody say, man, I'm just on top of this thing with my prayer life. But let me tell you something. The more time you spend communing with him, the more you start to realize who he is. And he starts speaking to you. And you start to see him, not the circumstances that you are in. Because he makes it clear in your spirit,
yes.
And sometimes he'll make it clear to your eyeballs. So that you know, God, you're here. There's a fullness of joy. I can have this calm delight. I'm not afraid. I'm not anxious. I'm with Jesus sleeping in the boat while the storm is going on. That should be normative for all of us. That's the joy. The calm delight. Storms raging all around me. What am I doing? I'm sleeping in the boat with Jesus because I know his grace. He's with me.
Yeah.
Second of those has to do with just who we are together. We've got a kingdom that doesn't end. Acts 2, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, verse 46, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. First day of the church, first days of the church, guess what they're doing? They're rejoicing. There's this calm delight, and it's not just on one individual, it's on all of them. It's on all of them. There's this community of the redeemed. Where are they? They're going where? From house to house. Remember what we talked about? Where's the place that you live? You live at home. So they're going from one home to another. There is this collective household that they are. Paul writes about that. You are God's household, his oikos. You are that. So my life joins your life. What's going on in my house, you are aware of in your house. And what's happening from house to house, we all now start to become aware of. Why is that important? Because Jesus, when he talked with his disciples, he says this, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And then he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. When we're in that place with each other, personal, intimate, experiential, not only with God, with one another, there is a calmness. You find the people who aren't rattled by the circumstances of life, who aren't complaining about, oh, how miserable this thing is, I want to take my life. No, because they all have perspective on who God is and directly and who God is through his people. It's a really easy answer to that. spend time with God, spend time with his people, committed to both, personal with both, intimate with both, experiential with both. That's not the place that we visit, folks. That's the place God's called us to live. That's the place God's called us to live. I believe in the seasons that are coming ahead. And I don't want to sound prophetic, but you know what? I believe to some degree this is a little more prophetic this morning. I don't think things are going to get better in circumstances around us. The Bible's very clear. They will get darker. They're going to get more difficult. Storms are going to rage more. The light will get lighter, but the dark will get darker as well. How do you navigate that? I live in the place of peace and joy. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Second of the fruit, you know what it is? Love, joy. That's where we live, not where we visit. I believe in the season that's ahead. It's incumbent on us. It's incumbent, Rockside Church, that you strengthen those things vertically, personal, intimate, experiential, because of what the Son did, what the baby grew up to do. And you strengthen those things horizontally, personally, intimately, experientially. So that in the middle of the darkness, what are God's people doing? They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing. In a world that grows darker and darker, your light grows brighter and brighter. Is that good news? I don't care how difficult your circumstances are. He's with you, leaning in toward you. And where he is, he will bring to bear all that's required for you to navigate those waters. Doesn't mean that it'll make it easy. It won't necessarily make it easy. But he'll be there with you. That's the promise. Emmanuel, God with us.